Okay. There's much speculation over who will walk out. Morgan Wallen tonight is first concert. They're playing the Big House Friday and Saturday night. Thomas Rhett is opening tonight, by the way, Gator.
Oh, Thomas Rhett?
Yeah. So, anyway, I think Hardy is opening tomorrow night.
Why do they call him Rhett?
Rhett.
Oh, Rhett.
Yeah, sorry. not Red.
I thought that's what he said, Red. Didn't it sound like he said Red? Like the color. I thought he said Red.
No.
You thought Rhett? Yeah. You heard Rhett? I didn't hear Rhett.
It's okay.
Okay, so
I knew who it was already.
It's going to be Hutch. It's going to be Kyle Whittingham. It's going to be Derek Jeter. There are obvious names that are
Bryce
getting thrown.
Bryce Underwood.
Yeah, the obvious names are getting thrown out there. And we've decided to go with some non-obvious candidates. Okay? Non-obvious candidates that it could be. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Doug, I go back to somebody who was brought into this world in 1958. Someone who was born in Bay City, Michigan, who then moved on to Rochester. Attended Rochester Adams High School. Then at the age of 20, made a bold choice to move to New York to chase fame and fortune. And what did she find? She found fame and fortune. The material girl built quite a legacy for herself and a proud product of the state of Michigan. But also, Doug, a fan of the University of Michigan, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So I think that perhaps it's time for a 67-year-old Madonna to show up and try to make herself relevant again. She keeps reinventing herself over the years, year in, year out. Why not take advantage, getting in front of over 100,000 people tonight in Ann Arbor and walk out Morgan Wallen and Johnny Rhett or whoever it is.
Thomas Rhett.
Thomas Rhett.
I don't think she walks both out. I think she just walks Morgan Wallen out. Okay, so you're going Madonna.
I'm going Madonna.
One musical artist walks out another musical artist. Interesting. Yours is probably more likely than mine. I'm going to go with Congressman Sri Tanadar.
Now that is off the wall.
That is off the wall. I did not see that coming.
How awesome would that be? Sri!
Is he jumping up and down, waving a towel? Or his hairpiece? I don't know.
What? That might be all Sri. You don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, if I had to guess, I'd
lean one way.
That's my guess. Kang, you?
All right. I've got, yeah, boy.
Flavor Flav.
He's everywhere. Whenever there's like a Michigan event or local Detroit event, I feel like Flavor Flav is in the house. Lions, mm-hmm. Pistons. Yeah. I'm going to go off the wall if it's not, you know, the Hutch everyone thinks or whatever, you know, yep. Kid Rock, whoever. I'm going to go with Flavor Flav.
Flavor Flav.
Okay.
I can see it.
Some people have got some off the wall guesses. Jim Leland walks him out, cigarette in his mouth. That's from Freddie.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Unnamed texter, the singing hot dog vendor from Comerica Park is walking out Morgan Wallen.
And then you know what else happens? 113,000 people walk out.
Morgan Wallen is going to get walked out by the biggest local celebrity we have, the lady from the Jemana billboards.
You mean Jemana?
Jemana Kairos?
The lady from the Jemana Kairos billboards. Oh, if I could only think of who that is. Oh, you mean Jemana?
Yeah. My pick is Bob Seger walks Morgan Wallen out.
One last time.
The final walkout.
From an unnamed texter. Obviously, Hutch would be the betting favorite, but I'm going off the board for my surprise guest, J-Mo. Morgan has a great relationship with the hip-hop culture, and I could see J-Mo super hype bouncing around on his way out with him. I heard $200 to $250 for parking. I'm going tomorrow. I plan on walking further than I expected. Somebody said $175 at Pioneer, $250 at the golf course. I don't know if the golf course is open. I think it's Ann Arbor Golf and Outing, but don't quote me on that.
That's insane.
Park at a Kroger, throw some beers in your pockets, and Uber to the concert for $10.
Not a bad call.
Not a bad idea.
Probably be in that car forever.
I'll give you a couple others.
Could be some traffic.
Might be serious candidates.
Yeah.
How about the Hughes brothers? Jack Quinn and Luke.
Yeah.
Quinn and Luke played hockey at Michigan.
Yeah.
I'm you know, the trio.
What if they adopt the one who's not the brother but who just got drafted? Isn't there one of
TJ Hughes who's not a Hughes brother?
Right.
Yeah. I mean they could
four of them out there.
Four Hugheses.
Yeah.
And I'll give you one more. Michael Phelps.
Yeah, I could see Phelps doing it, right?
Yeah. But I really think it's going to be Sri Tanadar. 248-539-9797.
Will it be Draymond Green?
No, it will not be Draymond Green.
No?
No, it will not be Draymond Green. That I'm pretty, you can rest assured on that.
Mark D'Antonio?
Also a probable not. Well, who would it be at Michigan State? I mean,
Gibby?
Gibby would be awesome. I mean, Pat Fitzgerald would be a strong candidate. But I guess who would be the off the wall?
The off the wall, right? Mm-hmm. Scott Kahn, son of James Kahn, the actor.
Okay.
It's James Kahn went to Michigan State. Sonny Corleone.
Right.
Oh, Bruce Campbell.
Ash from Evil Dead.
That's right.
Wasn't he in the building?
He was a few weeks ago.
This is a big swing and miss by us. Remember when his hand, in Evil Dead, didn't his hand get taken over by a spirit? And
yeah.
He took a chainsaw and cut his hand off, and as he was doing it, he was screaming, "Who's laughing now?" Ah! As he cut his own hand
Something like that, yeah. Actually, they've been showing that movie a lot over the last week on HBO.
Evil Dead is a funny, funny movie.
It has not held up well.
Isn't it? Oh, I'm not surprised.
I started watching it the other night, and I'm like, oh my God. Like, the camera is it's out of focus.
Really?
I mean, it looks really janky now. But when you watched it initially, you know, this movie came out in 1981. And it was terrifying and yet also eased the terror because there was comedy involved with it too. It was all right. But I don't think it's held up that well.
No.
No.
We got another one here. What about someone texting Verlander and Kate Upton?
Oh. Royalty.
Well, wait a sec. They got a game.
It's at 1.
He's not playing.
Tonight?
Yeah, then, no.
Tonight they've got a game. Well, he could tomorrow.
Tomorrow. 1.
Two walkouts. Yeah. They do 2 walkouts?
I would imagine somebody different tomorrow night.
And Gator, you're right. Verlander ain't playing anyway.
He's not, but I don't think he skips games. I think he'd be at games.
He could just he could fly back.
By the way,
helicopter. He can afford that.
I just looked who walked Morgan Wallen out in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna puke.
In Houston.
It was 3 people.
All right, Houston.
I swear to God, Gator. I can't wait to get your reaction.
All right.
Roger Clemens.
Okay, love Roger Clemens.
Actually, it was 4 people. Roger Clemens. Oh, it was 2 different nights. Never mind. Night 1, it was 2 people. My apologies. I've screwed this up completely.
Sorry.
Take 2 and 3-2-1. The first night in Houston, it was Andre Johnson.
Right. Wide receiver.
And Mattress Mac.
Who?
The guy who bets $1 million on everything, like millions of dollars.
He makes huge bets all the time.
He's a furniture guy. And, yeah.
Good for him.
He walked out with Morgan Wallen?
Yes.
That's weird.
Yeah. On night 2, it was Drake and Roger Clemens.
Drake?
Yeah.
Was he just in town for a concert as well?
He's a Canadian, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know what his connection with Houston.
I got a late one from AJ Hinch. He thinks Jamai Jones is going to walk out with Morgan Wallen. He loves Jones, man.
Yeah.
A lot of lefties out there.
Yeah, right.
He
likes his odds analytically out there. This
Last year in Seattle, Marshawn Lynch walked him out when he played this.
Beast mode, that would be pretty cool. Yeah. He's got his whole new career going as an actor.
Okay, Gator, if Scooble gets moved, 2 favorites, in my opinion, have emerged.
In
my opinion. There's some reporting on it, too, but I'm really starting to believe I'm influenced by the reporting. It's not just my opinion, but two favorites have emerged, and who they have to offer, who they have that's touchable and untouchable. Touchable. We use the term untouchable a lot in sports. We usually don't use the term touchable. We should use it more.
You think
players from these teams are touchable.
Okay.
We'll get to that today at 1:15. Scooble's explanation from last night. Hear that at 1:30. Carson Anderson, 97.1. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Okay, Gator. You know, there are three possibilities coming up here at the trade deadline, and that is sell Scooble, keep Scooble and buy. Sell Scooble doesn't mean they're giving up on the season, and it feels like Major League Baseball insiders are reporting more and more that there is it feels more likely than not that they're still in a sell position with Scooble, but I thought that report from Olney was really encouraging, that the belief is from other executives that have talked to Scott Harris, Harris isn't going to chase a fantasy. If they don't make it, they have to continue to make this very obvious that they're going to contend. Or if Scooble, if there is a good offer for Scooble, it doesn't sound like he wouldn't, like he very well might pull the trigger. Some reporting recently, one comes from Adam McCalvey of MLB.com. He reports that the Brewers are planning to be more aggressive than in recent years. They generally don't make headline-grabbing moves at the deadline, but they have reached out about Tarek Skubal and Mason Miller.
Interesting.
If you look at them, they've been very competitive in the National League, haven't won at all, but they haven't really made a big move since 2008 when they traded for CC Sabathia.
And they have four of the top 66 prospects in baseball, according to MLB Pipeline.
Yep.
Including at least one player that's with a major league club right now, and Luis Lara, an outfielder, who just got brought up like last week.
Yep. And they have
the top prospect in all of baseball.
Jesus Made.
That's correct.
Yep. This is a story from MLB Trade Rumors. The Brewers are well positioned to put pieces on the table. Baseball America recently ranked their farm system the best in the majors, highlighted by players Jesus Made, Luis Pena, Cooper Pratt, Luis Lara, Logan Henderson. The list goes on and on. He writes, the Brewers won't have playing time for everyone in that group, particularly the position players. Williams can also play the outfield, and that is Jet Williams, who is a third baseman outfielder, who is, I believe, their fourth or fifth best prospect. Made, here's what they write about Jesus Made, and this is interesting. Made is considered by many to be the top prospect in the league, and such a player would normally be untouchable, but Detroit would probably try and start the conversation there. Perhaps they have enough strong prospects to win the bidding without Made, but it will take a substantial package regardless. Is there a path to Made?
I don't know if there is. I always get leery when talking about the top overall prospect in baseball, not just the team's top prospect. Yep. So if it were the other way around, hey, it's the team's top prospect, but he happens to be number 17 in all baseball, I think that's different. This is a guy that, like, the Brewers have, it seems like for a while now, they have had a lot of these really top-end guys that they're starting to see get to the Major League club. I would have a hard time thinking that he is available, but if you're the Tigers, you ask for everything, mm-hmm. right? Because you have the best player that could potentially be on that market. I know people get bent out of shape about the whole Larkin stuff, and well, the Eisman never should have asked for Wyatt Johnston and stuff like that. But you got to ask for why not ask for the moon? If you think it's a non-starter, I don't care. I'm still going to ask.
Yeah.
This is different because it's Tarek Skubal. Like, Dylan Larkin's really good. Tarek Skubal is like elite. So ask for what you will. You may not get it, but that's okay. But Milwaukee does have a package of players they could do. You mentioned that the pitcher Henderson is already on the roster now, who's hurt right now, so he's not helping.
I think he's back.
Oh, is actually. He just come back?
I think, I'm sorry, but I'm pretty sure.
Is he the guy that had the back spasms?
Yeah, hold on for a sec. Let me make sure I'm not confusing him with somebody else. His name got floated out there a while ago.
It was with the idea that the Tigers are looking for a pitcher on somebody's current roster along with prospects.
He's made three appearances.
So, but he's a guy that's got a ton of upside that has had an injury issue this year.
Yeah.
So is it possible that you can get him? Sure, because you replace him with Tarek Skubal. And then in addition to that, if Luis Lara, who's also on their team, does that make sense? Like, it makes a ton of sense.
There's two things. One is the other team that, according to This is a quote from USA Today story. Rival executives believe the Dodgers plan to be greedy and are infatuated with the opportunity of becoming the first National League team to win three consecutive World Series. If Tarek Skubal indeed becomes available, as executives are now predicting, the Dodgers are all in. So here's the thing of why I think there is a path to Jesus Mata. Because the Brewers are sick of going to the playoffs and not getting out of the National League.
Mm-hmm.
They lost. They've been to the playoffs, and this is hard to believe. I think they've done this maybe without people realizing. They have been to the playoffs 7 of the last 8 years. They've lost in the NLCS, the wild card, the wild card, the NLDS, the wild card, the NLCS. They have been consistently in the postseason.
Yeah.
They haven't made a big move. They aren't using Jesus Mate now. They have a boatload of top prospects, including infielders, many, many, many middle infielders. I think if you leverage, if you say to the Brewers, here's the deal. We're going to take the Dodgers offer unless you give us Jesus Mate. You can leverage, if he goes to the Dodgers, that's game over. That's a wrap. The Brewers may well have called him up this year. The Brewers may well as white flag. Like they, it'll be cute. I'm sure they'll say they got a chance. So you leverage the Dodgers against the Brewers, and you look at the Brewers' history of continuing to go to the playoffs and losing, that might spark the big move. And I know people say the same thing about Detroit, and that's a whole other topic. I think you can leverage that and find a path to a player they're not using. And then they have Mizorowski and Skubal, 1-2.
Yeah, it's a lot. The only thing, well, not the only thing. One of the things I would say that might strike that down is...
There's a lot that can be said to strike it down. But
one of the things I will say is that Jesus Mata is a shortstop.
Yep.
He's a double A right now. Obviously a ton of potential, but he hasn't exactly lit the world on fire in the minors. He's got decent numbers, but they're not eye-popping numbers like what you see from the Dodgers prospects. And the Dodgers prospects are outfielders. Well, this guy's a shortstop, and the Tigers have McGonagall at shortstop right now. Is that going to be his long-time position? Probably not. But not because it would add Mate, but because Bryce Rainer is ripe for a promotion to get the double-A himself, who's off to a really good start to his minor league career, with an OPS that is getting close to 900. I don't know if shortstop is the position that they'd want to get, although it'd be really tough to turn down what would be the top prospect in all of baseball. I'm just putting it out there that if that's going to be it, you know, and if you could leverage these two teams against each other, you could really get something interesting from Milwaukee, let alone, I mean, if the Dodgers really want to do it, my God, they've got everything. They got everything you could possibly want.
So obviously the Tigers have a big chip here and they expect big return if they make a trade, right? You guys are bringing up, you know, all the scenarios here of what type of prospects they could bring back, big time prospects. Has anyone brought up this? I want to bring up to you guys. Their asking price, Scott Harris's asking price is probably going to be really high. If no team matches that, is there a scenario where they trade Casey Mize for something because they can get better value, but not, you know, do you know what I'm saying? Where like the asking price for Skubal is high. Asking price for Mize is lower, but they like what they get in return because Mize is an expiring contract as well.
But I don't, and I hear what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. And I think that they probably would imagine they have a good chance of re-signing Casey Mize, but I'm not sure what Casey Mize's marketability is right now because he's oft injured. This is the first year he's put together a really nice season, and yet, you know, he's kind of banged up right now. He's going to pitch, but he hasn't been healthy for the whole season. He's missed time. And this latest one, ball hit off his right hand or left hand. And then he's got this recurring groin issue he's going to have to deal with. If I'm another team, I don't know if I'm going to, you know, give up several prospects or a couple prospects to get a rental player that hasn't proven that he can stay healthy for the full season.
Might be able to get one decent prospect for him. I think you can do better than the Tigers did when they traded Michael Lorenzen for Howie Lee. Howie Lee took a few years, but he got here. I think he can get better value than that. But the Dodgers, I think, based upon that report in USA Today, that they are infatuated with becoming the third straight first NL team to win three in a row, and they plan on being greedy, and they really want Skubal. ESPN did a list of their untouchables. They have 9 players in the top 100. Their number one guy, Jose DePaula, is untouchable according to this. But the touchable guys, well, they go on to write. But I think there are a couple of more unlikely. There are a couple more that are unlikely to move. In a huge deal, such as Mike Sirota, outfielder Mike Sirota, outfielder Eduardo Quintero, shortstop Emil Morales, and possibly Zaire Hope. The story goes on to say, I have Hope and Charles Davelin as the fourth and fifth amongst their outfield glut, and James Tibb the third, one behind them. They have some real trade value. Those are all top 100 guys.
Yes, and but you've eliminated four of their top five.
ESPN, not you, but ESPN, which
I would have a hard time believing that's true.
I'm going to guess that the Dodgers won't be as desperate and motivated as the Brewers. I think the Dodgers like their chances, and even if the Brewers get Scooble, I don't think they think it's a wrap. I think if the Dodgers get Scooble, it's a wrap.
If I were the Dodgers, I'd be, you've got four of your top five prospects are outfielders. Five of your top eight, six of your top nine are outfielders. You could move a couple of those guys in different deals and get anything you need. You need to get starting pitching, bullpen arms. You got it, because all these guys are blocked. They're all a double A or high A ball. The only guy that's a triple A is James Tibbs, who's a first baseman outfielder type, who I would target if I were the Tigers as well, as being a second or third prospect you get in the deal if you're going to trade Scooble. But if you're the Tigers, you have to ask for, you know, Sirota or DePaula.
Well, you ask for DePaula, knowing that you'll settle for Sirota.
Yeah.
You insist on DePaula. You want DePaula, River Ryan, and James Tibbs. And they'll say no to that, and you go, okay, fine. Sirota, River Ryan, and James Tibbs, which is a great outfield prospect. Kid who went to a Frederick Gunn Academy in Connecticut.
There you go.
River Ryan.
Just the name alone.
One of their top pitching prospects and a top 100 guy in James Tibbs, who is on the brink, right? Outfielder, first baseman, on the brink.
He's hitting very well right now.
That'd be a great return. But you really leverage the Brewers. The Dodgers against the Brewers, and see if there's a pass to Jesus Mate or more, because their organization is loaded. Everybody says they're not touchable. I think you can make them very touchable. A tired of playoff failure Brewers organization that's more motivated than they've been. The idea of getting Scooble for a player they're not even using would have to be tempting. Speaking of Scooble, people didn't like his comments about knowing his elbow was sore in January. He tried to further explain what he meant last night. You can hear what he said next here on Carson Anderson on 97.1. We just had a listener bring something up here that's kind of interesting and kind of awesome. And I did think about this. We were talking about how we feel like the National League, the two teams in the National League, this is for the seller's market. The Brewers and the Dodgers are both reportedly, the Brewers are reportedly reached out about Scooble, and the Dodgers are getting greedy, according to MLB executives, and will absolutely be interested in Scooble. And I can't think of a better case scenario, honestly, for the sell crowd. And if the Tigers decide to sell, you have two teams in direct competition with one another that are both motivated, that both have absolutely loaded systems. What could be better than that? That's how you score a massive trade return. I think it could be shaping up if those reports are accurate, and we'll have to, you know, over time we'll find out how true that is. But Big Pank 65 is the one that sent in Dodgers get Scooble, Detroit beat Scooble in World Series. And then he writes, and then I woke up. But could you imagine the Brewers and the Tigers, if the Tigers manage to stay competitive and played him in the World Series. Crazy. But of course, without Scooble, I'm not sure how they get to the World Series. One thing about the Dodgers, a possible Dodgers trade, is James Tibbs is stuck behind Freddie Freeman in L.A. and those outfielders.
Their entire roster is stuck behind
Tibbs could come to Detroit and play right away, first baseman, outfielder, and he's killing it at AAA.
Yeah, he's got an OPS of, it was over 900. Right now, he is, it's 949 for an OPS. He's played 93 games at AAA this year with 21 homers and 72 RBI. Also got 21 doubles.
Okay, so you trade Scooble to the Dodgers for James Tibbs and others. Tibbs actually makes the call up. Then you turn around and trade Max Clark to the Padres for Mason Miller. You add Tibbs to your everyday roster. You put Mason Miller in the back end of the bullpen. That's a team that could compete now.
Well, guess.
All right. Anyway, that's one direction they could go. In the meantime, Scoobal spoke last night and mentioned that he prefers to stay and do big things here in Detroit. All right. I mean, he's saying the right things. When everybody hears his commitment to Detroit, it's like, cool, it's a commitment with a shot clock running out. But, you know, I'm glad he said it. There's nothing wrong with saying it.
No. I mean, he's going to say that. He's motivated to play for the team that drafted him and all that. It's great like that, but it is still what it is. I appreciate him talking to the media last night. Because people wanted to talk with him based on those comments. So, you know, take what he has to say and however you will.
Okay. It was pointed out to him, hey, yeah, you want to win it all, but you probably have a better chance to win it all if you traded to a more established contender, a team that's doing better in Detroit. Here's what he said.
I don't buy that. Okay. They have all the pieces they need to get in there? Because I don't think they have. I don't think they had a bullpen to compete for the World Series as it's constructed right now. I agree that once you get into the playoffs, it's a whole different animal. But you have to have those pieces that you're missing right now, too, to get there. I think that they're missing a bat, and I think they're at the very least missing a closer. Mm-hmm. And they could use a couple of bullpen arms.
Okay, here's him answering to the criticism that you should have done something about your elbow in the off season that has people upset when he admitted he felt something wrong in January. And we're going to play the whole exchange so you have context and nothing is taken out of context because Wojo asked some follow-up questions. So you hear Wojo ask the question, his answer, the follow-ups all the way to the end of the topic. So everything he had to say on the topic is right here so you can put it in context. And here's what he said. Okay, I mean, honestly, he has managed to take something that can make you a hero in this town and turn it into a negative by a poor choice of words at the best, or maybe being too honest at the worst. When you are a guy that wants to power through an injury and think you're going to be okay and do everything you can to be healthy and think, I'm going to be okay, I'm going to get through this, and I'm going to go out there and perform, people will love you. But at the moment you say, I was in contract negotiations and I didn't want the team to know, which he implied that he might have been thinking of subconsciously in that story by Cody Stavenhagen. It turns on you. It flips 180.
Yeah, but you also have to put yourself in the shoes of somebody that's going through something like that. When you feel, hey, something doesn't feel right, are you going to immediately go get that checked out if it's the off season? Or are you going to wait a couple of days and see if it maybe it starts to feel better? And to his defense, it was the off season. It was January, and it started to trend in the right direction. I can understand why he didn't. I mean, if it thought about, oh, should I do this now? Well, let me see how it is. And then a few days later, you're like, oh, it does feel a little bit better. I won't worry about this.
Okay, final thing, and this one is really interesting. He sat in on the arbitration process, which players are pretty much required to be there. And the question came up to him, do you have any hard feelings towards the organization? Listen to this answer. Okay, I heard from two agents regarding this. One said that Boris probably made sure he was insulted so he wouldn't give Detroit a hometown discount because right. Boris is trying to maximize his possible earnings. And so hometown discounts don't work for Boris. And two, another agent said he was sure that the Tigers were highly respectful. He can't imagine them. Who's sat in on arbitration process said he's sure the Tigers were highly respectful in this thing. I don't think Scooble should think of arbitration as some insult. It's just part of, he might not like the offer, but the process of arbitration is part of the business. It's not an insult.
So keep this in mind too.
Mm-hmm.
Tarek Skubal is he's on the union executive subcommittee.
Yeah.
So when he's going through something like that, when he actually gets to go through the arbitration process, and he says something afterwards like, everybody should have to sit in on this. That tells me that it is such an awful experience. And this is like this is a players versus owners type thing. And this is why there is such a rift between the two sides. Because when you have to experience that in person and you get to hear somebody speaking negatively about you, they're just trying to negotiate, right? It gets ugly. The idea that Scott Boras said, here, let's go to this and I want you to come with me, that he did that so it poisons him against the Tigers, makes all the sense in the world to me. Like, he wants to have that feeling of hostility in a way towards the front office. Not towards the players and coaching staff. Clearly, he loves those guys. And he's got a different relationship with A.J. Hinch. A.J. Hinch said so. He's like, oh, we got a great relationship. I talk to him all the time. But when it comes to Scott Harris and the Tigers front office, that sounds like it's a nightmare to deal with if you're Tarek Skubal with he and his agent Scott Boras. But that's how it always is. That's the business side of it. And he got a full taste of it 6 months ago.
Boras, to me, is a Bond villain in baseball. Like, he does, the only thing that matters is, you know, making sure that he gets all the gold bullion off the nuclear sub.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Carson Anderson, 97.1. Okay, Scott Anderson, 97.1, 248-539-9797. Busy day. We opened with Tiger Talk, Scooble's comments last night, A.J. Hinch on the morning show, and then the middle of our show, bang, breaking news, LeBron James decides that he will go to Philadelphia on a two-year, $8 million deal. You did not mishear that. 2 years, $8 million. The first year, he's making less than $4 million. In fact, as somebody said, it was the veteran's minimum. What the hell, man?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he did what nobody expected him to do, which was to take the pay cut. Everybody expected him that he was going to pick the team that he thought had the best chance to win the championship. Mm-hmm. but not to go for cheap.
Yep.
And he did both. He went cheap to the team he thinks is going to win the championship.
Let's go to Jeff in Toledo. You're next. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Love your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to let you know, I know a guy named Bill Lasky who pitched for San Francisco for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that his arm never feels normal until the end of January, early February. So, I mean, it's possible Scooble couldn't tell the difference between regular soreness and what was going on in his elbow.
Well, look, I believe that that absolutely can be the case. Gators brought it up a bunch about how, you know, you're sometimes you're not, something feels wrong and then it just goes away. And, you know, Scooble said, I thought I was trending in the right direction. I thought I was going to be fine. So at what point do you decide, no, this is something more serious or it's not bad at all? So I believe that. The problem is when he tied in, oh, maybe subconsciously I was thinking about my contract and arbitration process. There's just no upside to admitting that or saying that. In fact, if it truly, Jeff and Gator, if it truly was subconscious and he didn't, it never crossed his mind in January, and then he throws it out there here in July, it's a giant own goal. If it never crossed your mind in the moment, why would you bring up the worst possible scenario now? Like, it makes no sense.
No.
There's no law against making stupid statements.
Well, that's true. So. And I guess we sit here for 4 hours a day talking, and sometimes I have regrets. I had a dream.
Sometimes I have regrets.
Gator, I had a dream that for bold ass predictions, get this.
Yeah.
I had a dream that I said the Tigers bullpen would be one of the best in the league. And I woke up from that dream. I was like,
wow,
just a dream.
You know.
So thankfully, I've never said anything stupid.
You're right.
Stupid,
yeah. What did you say about the bullpen?
I don't recall. That was a long time ago. Yeah.
You don't want to go back and look that up?
By the way, we have barely talked about last night's game. James Outman, who we called out earlier this week, intends to happen.
He called him out yesterday.
It's the bottom of the seventh. The Tigers had two runners on board, down 2-0, and they're at the bottom of the order. And it's a right-handed pitcher, and they put James Outman up, a left-handed. Outman, it was his turn. I mean, he didn't put him up, but he's up. He's up. And I'm like, oh, God, it's Outman. He's hitting 160. It's lefty-righty. And I'm like, isn't there somebody else on the bench that should be hitting here? But AJ stuck with him. And that's one of those moves. Like, AJ didn't pinch hit for Outman. Nobody will bring up and say, good job, AJ. But he didn't pinch hit for a 160 hitter who hit a bomb. And you know how sometimes teams just have magic?
Oh, boy.
Well, if you think about who's come through the last couple of games, Cater Montero, Howie Lee, and James Outman.
And McKinstry had 2 hits last night.
Feels a little bit like it could be. MJM. That this team might have a little magic going on right now.
Well, I don't know if there's magic, but I think there's certainly a correction. May was terrible. Here's the correction. June, July, and hopefully the rest of the season is the correction. This is back to being the team that we thought they were going to be when the season started. It was a season of hope. And then everything happened. There were injuries to the rotation where you lost, three guys right away to the rotation before you're throwing into the fourth game of the season. Yeah. And then you lose a couple of everyday players like Kerry Carpenter and Gleyber Torres and Javi Baez all leave the lineup. Wow. Well, that's tough to overcome in the second month of the season. So now they're starting to got to do a lot of digging out of that hole that they dug, which was massive. And they're looking like a competent team again. You know, AJ talked about it today about one of the biggest differences is the defense. So they were one of the worst defense, if not the worst defense in all of baseball in May.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's get back to doing the fundamentals correctly and play the way we're supposed to play and how we're capable of playing defensively. And the rest is going to follow suit. And here comes the starting pitching. Looks like it's one of the best rotations in baseball, which is what we all thought going into the season. Well, now they're starting to realize some of that.
Bert is next on 97.1. Hello, Bert.
Hello. How you guys doing, man? Okay. I am here in Pontiac. under the hot weather. But I want to remind everybody, 97.1, the ticket, it is the radio station for the Detroit Tigers. Hey, I want to say something. I don't know what people are talking about, Scooble moving away. Scooble, it is with the World Series champions. He is at home. This is the World Series champion, the Detroit Tigers. Where is this going? We got the perfect combination. Third base, shortstop, second base, and first baseman. Who got the bet? Who got those guys? You told me that. Right. Mechanical, hey, he goes to third base.
Hey, hang on a second, Bird. I got to put you on hold. What?
Bert's fired up. I want to hear the rest of what Bert has to say. All right, Bert, we got the infield. What else do we got?
Oh, my goodness, man. Let me tell you something. The only best thing we got is Valdez. He's got to go. Valdez has got to go. That's Ooh. The only chance of the Detroit Tiger. Anytime I see Valdez in the mouth, I know I'm going to lose. I don't want him there anymore.
Who?
Valdez.
Valdez. He's the worst creature. We don't want him in there. I shake when he's there. I know I'm going to lose when I see him get him out.
This is like half Iron Sheik, half announcer for Telemundo in soccer.
It's an interesting cross. Yeah, no, Bert.
Kang, what do you think? Half Iron Sheik, half?
I mean, you know the Sheik more. So I was thinking more like, I mean, I could see the soccer guy. I don't know about Sheik.
The craziness of what he's saying is Sheik reminiscent. I'm just saying, I could see a little bit of Iron Sheik and then whatever that guy's name is.
I would like a little Bert to English translation, but I didn't understand a lot of that.
There's a reason AI was brought about, and maybe it was for that exact purpose.
It took me a while to understand he was talking about Framber Valdez.
Yeah.
But he does not like Framber Valdez.
He does not. He does not. And nope. Look, Framber in his... It's getting close to half the starts now has been terrible. Mm-hmm. But the other starts are really good. He needs to start pitching well again. But tonight it's Scooble going against a young right-handed pitcher for Kansas City. Take advantage of this bad lineup again. Take advantage of the fact that Bobby Witt Jr. is not playing. Get off to an early lead, and then hopefully Scooble goes, you know, six shutout innings.
Big game.
And handles things.
All right, so Mike and Rico coming up next. What do you think those guys are going to be talking about today?
I understand that they're going to be talking about who the best Teletubby of all time is. Mike's a Tinky Winky guy.
Stay safe, everyone, and treat each other with respect. 97.1.